Fall is a big time of transition, and our homes need some help to get ready for the colder weather. Always hard to know, not only to know what to do, but how to prioritize the different jobs. And we're lucky to have two great guys with us today who can talk about just that. John Freiberger of Freiberger & Associates in Fitchburg comes by every couple months to share what he knows with us. And John, thanks for coming by.
Glad to be here.
And just as well, Ken Adams of Adams Design Construction in Madison. You guys have been partners for these programs for a long time, and good to see you, Ken.
It's good to see you, too.
Great to have you both with us. And let me remind you, as you listen in and you have a question for these guys, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. Well, we got lots of different things we can do. Gutters are one thing. Clean gutters. Look at those downspouts.
Go on vacation.
Yeah, I'm getting out of town for the weekend.
Well, it's a perfect time of year to do all kinds of, squirrel-type home maintenance projects, things that you do to get ready for winter. Cleaning gutters, making sure that storm windows are operable or installed in place, cleaning the windows, checking around your foundation, plantings in the yard. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, and clogging,
just checking
downspouts, make sure they're not clogged up. We've got this gutter guard type thing on our gutters, and that I was looking at them, and they've done a real good job. I mean, there are no leaves or no nothing in those gutters.
Yeah, gutter guards have gotten better over the years, and they really make life easier for us. As we get to a certain age, as I am, it's less fun to get up on the roof and clean gutters.
No, you got that right. Dennis in Milwaukee has a question for you guys. Let's go there. Hi, Dennis. Thanks for calling.
You're very welcome. My pleasure. I have replaced my windows from 1949. They're all double pane now. And I'm wondering about buying this 3M film and pasting that all over some of these windows to further help keep out the chilblains of winter. Is it worth the, especially the extra work as well as the cost in saving heat?
Well, what do you think, John?
Well, it is going to save something. I can tell you that if you had purchased the windows that had the suspended film inside the glass, it would have actually increased your R factor by about 36-37%. When it's placed on the glass, I don't know exactly what you're going to have as far as reflectivity, but I would expect that 3M, being a pretty good company, can probably give you some good information on the website. But I would check on the 3M website and see what you can expect as far as savings. If you can achieve anything close to the 35% that you can with suspended film in manufactured windows, then it's certainly going to be worthwhile.
Well, my downstairs windows have that argon layer in there, and this wouldn't have been putting film on the window. It would have been putting it on the molding and creating maybe an inch or an inch and a half trapped dead air space in there.
Yeah.
Well, the question is on your windows, how well were they sealed when the new ones were put in? Was the low expansion urethane installed so that they have a real good air seal around them so you don't have infiltration?
I think so, yes. But I'll call the 3M company. Surprisingly, I never thought of doing that. they probably would know. I don't know if they'd know as well as you fellas do, but thank you very kindly.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Well, sometimes it's not even how much you save; it may be a comfort factor. If it makes the house a little more comfortable in the wintertime, that's worth something too.
Well, a lot of homes built in the '40s had their heat runs on the interior walls, and so the outside walls are very cold. Mm-hmm. So every little thing you can do to keep it a little more comfortable is worth it.
It's
worth it, yes.
Yeah. Ramona in Milwaukee, hi to you. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a Milwaukee bungalow, and
the person that owned the home before us had the downstairs insulated well with one of those programs, but they did not use the upstairs, and now we had purchased the home, and the upstairs is very cold and drafty, and what we would like to do is insulate the upstairs, and it has dormers up in the upstairs, mm-hmm. but there's no yeah. insulation in between the drywall and the roof. So how? What's the best way to go about insulating that, and what type of insulation?
John?
Well, that is a tough question because, boy, Ken and I have seen just about every arrangement of framing in bungalows, and some of them only have 2x4s for roof rafters, so you end up with not much space.
Okay.
So there's two general ways of looking at it. Mm-hmm. One is to infill inside the walls, but remember when you infill inside the walls, you need to put a liquid-applied vapor barrier on the interior so you don't get condensation.
On the interior walls.
On the interior walls, right. Okay. So you can get an acrylic latex paint that's certified as a vapor barrier paint. Put that on so you don't get the condensation. Sometimes what we have found, I know Ken has put these on and we've designed them, is we've actually put insulation over the top of the roof. We've used like a Cornell panels made here in Wisconsin where you can get 2, 3, even 4 inches of foam with OSB and an airspace bonded to it. And when you re-roof, you put that right over the entire roof.
Does your house need a roof?
Not at this point.
Yeah, you're probably going to need to do an energy audit and talk to an energy consultant. This is one of these things that is really hard to diagnose over the phone because, as I said, Ken and I have seen a lot of very complicated bungalows, and sometimes there just isn't much space in which to put insulation.
Right, and we were planning on drywalling because the previous owner had... it's not drywall. It's like that particle board or whatever.
Oh.
It's real old
well, that
stuff.
Makes life easier.
Yeah, so much easier, doesn't it?
What we wanted to do is pull that off and re-drywall, but as long as we were going to re-drywall, we wanted to insulate right away.
Great. So. Okay, well, then I think Ken and I have something we can agree upon. One would be to start with a spray foam insulation between the studs, and that's going to give you roughly about R20.
27, 22, 25.
Well, if we put the whole assembly together, yeah. But then the other thing we can do is on the inside, then, before you put the new drywall on, is put an inch of foam over the face of all the studs, which gives you a thermal break so you don't get the bridging.
Oh, okay.
What's your ceiling height up there?
Boy, I don't know. That I couldn't answer you.
Can you touch it from when you're standing on the floor? Can you reach up and touch it?
Almost.
Almost. So it's probably 7 feet or a little bit more. So that would work if typically... what you want is 50% of the space needs to be 7 feet or taller by code. There's some ways around it if you've already got the room finished, but that's a great thing to do. What John said, insulate the cavity and then put foam over the top and then drywall over the top of that.
Yeah. Are you putting a vapor barrier on the wall, like a plastic on underneath the roof?
Yes. The current code reads that you have to put 6 mil plastic vapor barrier on underneath even foam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There you go. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call, Ramona. Ken Adams and John Freiberger, our guests today, Ken of Adams Design Construction in Madison, John Freiberger of Freiberger and Associates of Fitchburg, our guests today, having some fun talking with them about how you can save some money how you can heat your home and not heat the outside, among other things, as we visit with them today. And I'm having some fun learning about it. And Joy Cardine joining us as well. And I tell you what, Wisconsin Public Radio is in its fun drive. We're listener supported. We're in our fall membership drive. Joy is with me, and we're asking you to go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now to make a gift in support of the programs you count on. And Joy, we always have a goal.
We always have a goal, Larry. And today the goal is 70 pledges in the next hour and a half. And these goals are really important because they help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussions going strong on Wisconsin Public Radio. So take a moment right now. Think about how important Larry's program is to you each day and all of his great guests. And make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, the Ideas Network is with you all day long, whether you ride to work or run errands cook dinner. You cook dinner with us. You listen at home or at work. You get interesting discussions, frankly, whenever you want them. We're always here, and you make that possible with your donation. So Wisconsin Public Radio wouldn't be what it is without your support. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, Larry, here's something special. Here's an incentive to make your pledge now, not only because you want to help pay for programs like the Larry Mueller Show, but because any amount pledged today, you will be entered into a drawing for an iPad. So that's really cool. Everybody who contributes today will toss your names into a hat, and someone will win an iPad. So you can find out all the details and make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR exists because people contribute. And when we all give, our contributions add up to make this program possible. Your contribution really does make a difference.
So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's as simple as that. One pledge at a time, you make this station possible.
There are a lot of ways to make a positive difference in your community, and here's one that's simple and powerful. Become a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. All it takes is a couple of minutes to set up an ongoing contribution of $10 or $20 a month. Your generosity will enrich the lives of more than 200,000 people who listen to WPR every day.
I hope you'll pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry and Joy here with you today asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. And maybe your gift is $50 or maybe it's $100 or $500, whatever amount you choose. That's the right amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You have learned about so many issues from Wisconsin Public Radio just in the past week alone on Larry's show. Birdscaping in Wisconsin, craft cocktail making, first aid for your pets. And you know, Larry, right now, remodeling and home maintenance, how important is that at this time of year? And I'm wondering if maybe John and Ken can give us some tips on how to warm up this studio a little bit. Are you like freezing or what?
No, I'm fine, but I carry a lot of extra insulation, more
both,
than
yeah.
you do. Oh, man. Well, whatever, you know. Whatever it is, Wisconsin Public Radio is really here for you. We're watching for the latest information on topics that interest you. We hope you will invest in your future listening by donating now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Here are some questions you might think about when deciding to donate to Wisconsin Public Radio. What is Wisconsin Public Radio worth to you? How much do you listen over the course of a week or a month or a year? How much do you pay a month for things like cable TV or going to the movies?
At WPR, you get to choose how much you give. Any contribution makes you a member. I hope you'll pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And on Wisconsin Public Radio, you get programs that inform and inspire you, programs that entertain and engage you. You get these programs at the touch of a button or the click of a mouse anytime you want them.
And what makes it all possible? Well, you do. People who contribute to make it happen for themselves and for others.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, membership matters. Become a member. Give any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Takes just a couple of minutes of your time. Give us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay. And you might consider using your credit card. It saves time. It saves postage and paper. Put your money to work right away. And no matter how you choose to give or how much, take these 2 minutes right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
All right, we are looking now for 65 pledges. So 5 pledges into that goal of 70 pledges. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And remember, as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount, today only, you will be entered into that drawing for an iPad.
And not only that, if you donate, contribute at least $120, we'll send you the Wisconsin Public Radio T-shirt.
Hey, have you tried that on yet?
I have not tried it on yet, but I like
that on you.
I saw a picture of you wearing it, and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm contributing more money today so I can get one of those T-shirts.
It's a nice teal-colored T-shirt. I think that's teal. I'm not positive.
I think it's teal.
And it has the headphones that surround the Wisconsin Public Radio logo or the Wisconsin Public Radio saying. And you can show off your support of Wisconsin Public Radio and, you know.
I've talked myself into it. I'm gonna get online.
And you know what? Actually, Larry, what I did is I have his and hers. My husband and I are both getting those T-shirts.
So you did it too.
I make him wear them too.
Well, that's not a bad idea. I can get one for my wife. It's our wedding anniversary tomorrow.
Oh, that's romantic.
I mean, what better gift? I can't think of a better gift.
$10 a month or more, and the T-shirt is yours, and you will be entered into the iPad drawing, and you will be helping to pay for Wisconsin Public Radio and for shows like the Larry Mueller Show, which you appreciate, which you value. So do make that pledge right now at WPR.com. Or 888-202-2552.
And thank you very much. For those of you who have pledged already, join me. Pledge $120. We'll send you a T-shirt. Tell you what, it's a nice-looking T-shirt. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have Ken Adams of Adams Design Construction in Madison and John Freiberger of Freiberger & Associates Fitchburg with us to talk about your home, getting it ready for winter. Maybe you've got some issues with your home that you want them to talk with you about. They're glad to do it. Just give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, and email us at talk@wpr.org. We'll take that as well. Ann in McHenry County, Illinois, has been waiting. So let's go there. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a winterizing question. My daughter has just moved into an older apartment building that has a window air conditioning unit, and she's on the second floor. We want to know kind of how to winterize that window for her.
And you can't remove the window? I mean, remove the air conditioning unit?
Well, she's away. She lives in Philadelphia, so, you know, she doesn't really know anybody over there that could help her. So we're trying to be able to do it without her having to take it out and then put it in again in the spring. Is there any way to do that?
Well, there is. It's sort of unfortunate because the best way to do it is to remove the air conditioner,
right.
Close the window, and seal
right.
it up.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of things you could do. Earlier, I think Dennis called in about a 3M product that was a plastic product that you could put over the opening, and I believe you blow on it with a hairdryer and it shrinks.
Right, that's what got me to thinking about this question, yeah.
Oh, I see, yeah, well, and that's sort of in the right track. A better solution would actually be to cut a piece of insulation board, place it in front of the air conditioning unit, and then cover it up with plastic or... you want to avoid tapes because tapes will leave residues on the walls, and you know I'm sure that the landlord over there would not be happy with that. But
yeah,
that would be a good start. Is there anything that you can add, John?
Well, a few years ago when Wisconsin changed its energy code and the city of Madison changed its energy code a little bit, you had to be able to cover all air conditioners for the winter. And most of them were through the walls, though, not the window type.
Yeah, we don't know if that's the code there.
No, but they did develop these plastic-coated insulated boxes you could put over the through the walls. So the question is, you may be able to go online, find a through-the-wall air conditioning cover, and maybe it would fit this unit one. So
those are the ones that fit from the outside, right?
No, they actually have them to fit from the inside.
There you go.
And they developed them because of the multi-story buildings.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's some kind of cover that you use from the inside?
Yes, it's basically, it looks like a piece of white plastic, but it's got a half inch or an inch of insulation in it, and there's little clips that you can clip it. The other thing, though, is I would send an email to the management company. I have friends in the Chicago area. I know you're outside of Chicago, but their maintenance crew comes around and pulls all the air conditioners for everybody in the fall so they can close the windows. I think mostly because they don't want them falling on people's heads down on the sidewalk, but
yeah.
You may want to just check to see if that might be standard operating procedure for the building in which your daughter is living.
Oh, that's a good idea to check. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this cover that you were talking about, do you recall any kind of a brand name or anything?
I don't.
Okay.
But I know they were out there, and I know I've seen a lot of them when we've reviewed multi-family buildings here.
What
in
would
Madison.
You put in the search engine if you were going to? You'd say
right. Air conditioning, winterization cover
for the inside.
For the inside, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you so much. Those are good ideas.
No, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And again, you can join us 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Cindy in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Well, I was wondering, we have an older home and there was no insulation in the attic.
Yep.
And so we had this, it goes in as a liquid but then turns to this like hard stuff. I don't know what it's really called. And then we bought replacement windows and did that. But now my house gets musty smelling and I'm wondering if could we have made it too tight, airtight, or what do you think the deal is?
So you put an insulation
in the attic.
Could it be a foam? What's it look like now?
It looks like a white, kind of a cream colored.
But it's hard, right? So it's a foam.
I'll bet.
Open cell foam, maybe.
And how thick is it, Cindy?
Well, it went... You know how in the attic we had absolutely no insulation. Mm-hmm. So you know how there's boards. I don't know, 3 inches maybe.
Okay, so thick as the ceiling joists,
right.
Or the floor joists in the attic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a product with which I'm not familiar. A liquid applied that goes in that thin. Ken, are you familiar with this?
No, I'm just wondering if Cindy, you're thinking two-part. That goes in as a spray and then it expands and cures?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what she had.
Okay, so it's a foam. It's probably an open cell foam if it's white. Isn't that, I forget the name of the product, but it's sort of fallen out of favor recently because it's breaks down quickly.
Well, there were urea formaldehydes and there were several other types that are mm-hmm. out there.
Yeah, so we can just speculate on what it is, but we don't know for sure until we see it. But so you're getting musty smells in the attic or in the...
Really all over the house.
Mm-hmm.
And like my sweaters and stuff, you can't smell it really when you're in the house until you walk out and go, oh, my clothes smell musty. So the whole house smells.
Now, Cindy, you haven't gone through a winter since this insulation and window work was done yet, have you?
Yeah, we got this done probably... we've gone through two winters.
Two winters. Are mm-hmm. you getting much condensation on your windows during the winter?
No, not really.
Well, that's an unusual problem because that sort of eliminates the general high humidity in the house causing fungal growth. So this is probably some sort of isolated problem that is spreading through the house, and it could even be a leak into a wall system or something where you're getting fungal growth.
That's possible. Yeah. Have you, when you had this insulated, did you have an energy audit?
No.
You might want to do a couple of things. One is to schedule an energy audit with an Energy Star or Focus on Energy auditor, and they can look at your ventilation, and they can look at the insulation quality, and they might be able to find cold spots in the house that might be indicative of a leak or of just missing insulation.
Now would be a good time to do it. Probably.
This is a perfect time, Larry. This is a great time to do it, Cindy, because there's a different temperature outside. You know, it's a much colder outside than it is inside, so it's easier to get a good read on it. If start with that, and then I think that would probably be the first important step to go. Check your ventilation too. See how your bath fans are working, and do you have a kitchen exhaust vent?
Well, just the one with the microwave, you know.
Mm-hmm. Does it vent into the house or does it go outside? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Into the house.
Into the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my guess is you probably don't have enough ventilation or appropriate ventilation for your new insulating values. That might be part of the problem.
We had the roof done also, and they took off the whirlybird things and just put the roof, what do they call that? The thing
roof
on the
fence.
Yeah. Is that enough or not really?
Well, do you have soffit vents also, Cindy?
I don't think we do. It's a two-story colonial house.
Okay, then you do have a problem. I'm going to send you to a website, so grab a pencil quick.
Okay.
And this is a website that talks a lot about the importance of venting. And okay. It's called coravent.com. So it's C-O-R and then a dash.
Okay.
The letter A, another dash, and then V-E-N-T.com. They give you nice cross-sectional drawings, worksheets, all kinds of things.
But don't let it get too intimidating, though. If you've talked to a good energy auditor, I think that they can help explain it clearly to you if the website is, you know, leaves any gray areas in your mind at all.
Right. And as Ken said, the energy auditor with the thermal camera can actually pick up water leaks in wet areas because the temperature is different in them because a wet insulation or wet wall transfers energy more quickly. So your energy audit is going to be energy and moisture audit in reality. So that's a real good place to start. But then, as Ken said, check ventilation and check the attic ventilation as well as the house ventilation.
Okay. What was that website again?
Coravent.com, C-O-R-A-vent.com. Very useful site.
Okay, good.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Julie in Fond du Lac, hi.
Hi, good morning. The previous caller just prompted a quick question, which is about how much would you expect to pay for an energy audit?
Well, that's a great question. Energy audits can run anywhere from $350 to $650, somewhere in there. And,
Is it fairly easy to find a person to do that?
You could go to the simplest thing is go to do a Google search on Focus on Energy Wisconsin, or you could say Energy Star Wisconsin. That will take you to the website. The website will have approved Energy Star auditors for your location.
Okay,
and you can start there. One of the nice things about it is that if you're going to have any remodeling work done, they will do an inspection, and then after the remodeling work is done, they'll redo the inspection, they will tell you how much you've actually improved. It's a great tool for the value of your home and also for your comfort.
Sure. Yeah. Well, actually, my main question was we're thinking about replacing an old wood stove. It's cast iron. It's a Vermont casting. The label on it is 1977. It's cracked in the back, and we haven't used it for a few years because of that, but we really like, you know, having that in the family area. I have a couple of friends who have a soapstone wood-burning stove and others who have cast iron, and I'm just wondering in terms of efficiency or length of, you know, how long it keeps its heat.
Yeah.
If you have any ideas about that.
Sure. John?
Well, there's almost too many ideas, and I think what you need to do is talk to a stove specialist. I actually have a wood stove. I think that they said the thing is 83% efficient.
Wow. There,
it actually produces wood gas, and then it burns the gas. It's really pretty amazing the technological advances we've made in wood stoves. So rather than being, you know, whether it's metal or soapstone or whatever, I think you really want to look at energy efficiency. So talk to a couple of dealers, see what they have, and take a look at energy efficiency and how much air that stove needs to operate. Because if you are bringing in 60 cubic feet per minute to operate that stove, you have to heat 60 cubic feet of outside air. So there's a lot of things. Start with energy and then make your selection based upon aesthetics after you have selected something that is going to give you great efficiency and use of wood.
There you go. Great idea. Very good idea. Ken Adams of Adams Design Construction, John Freiberger of Freiberger & Associates Fitchburg, our guest today as we talk about giving you advice on how you can save some money or make your home a little more comfortable during this Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Larry Mueller here. Joy Cardine joins us again, and we're here to ask you to invest 2 minutes of time in your future. Our goal is to make sure all of the programs you value, including this one, are here on Wisconsin Public Radio when you want them. So a contribution, any amount, will do just that, and I want you to make your gift now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Hey, Larry, we're looking for 58 pledges in the next 55 minutes or so.
Okay,
so
one
pledge a minute, but that means you have to go to the phone right now. 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. Help pay for the programs you depend on.
You know, Judith Sears Poisson beat me to the punch. She went and donated during this hour and got her own T-shirt.
There she goes. All right.
Before I had a chance to do it. I'm going to do it yet for a $120 contribution. We can do that with your contribution Join me. Get a T-shirt. Listening to the Ideas Network is a lot like going out for coffee with a smart friend. It's enjoyable. It's informative, piques your curiosity.
And someone has to pay for it. So you make this daily cup of coffee on the Ideas Network possible with your financial support. So do give now any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Pledge any amount today and you'll be entered in a drawing for an iPad. Although, Judith, you can't win that iPad because you're a member. And I can't win it either when I make my contribution. Joy can't either.
Nope.
But you can if when you make your pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, Larry, Judith is a fantastic producer.
Yes,
she really does a great job lining up wonderful guests and getting you a lot of background material. And she does a wonderful, wonderful job, as you do too. But, you know, it just reminded me, and I don't mean to make anybody sad here, but it reminded me that before Judith, Jim Packard was your producer. And one of the goals that I made for myself during this pledge drive is that I'm going to make a pledge in memory of Jim Packard.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know I was going to say this, but it did remind me that he obviously loved Wisconsin Public Radio very much, and it was one of the suggested charities if you wanted to give a memorial to Jim. And I'm going to do that with one of my pledges. I make several pledges during these pledge drives, but I'm going to do one in memory of Jim Packard. So it's something you might want to consider doing as well. It's obviously completely up to you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm John Nevins from Janesville, Wisconsin, and today I'd like to just share a little bit about why public radio means something to me. As a young boy, I listened to the radio quite a bit because we didn't have television. And I remember laying many times on a Saturday morning in front of the radio and listening to the programming and imagining that I was with the Lone Ranger or with whoever it was that was on the radio. And my parents forbid me to listen to the Green Hornet, but we used to sneak off and do it anyway.
He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America.
Today I don't have to sneak off at all. I listen to it daily in the kitchen as I fix breakfast in the morning and at noon when I'm fixing dinner. It's a very special part of my life, and I am very, very proud to be a member of WPR and to be here today to share that thanks with the organization.
And we would like you to go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. That's 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support. Larry Mueller here with Joy Cardine asking for your support of the WPR programs you count on. And thanks in advance for your gift, by the way, be it $50 or $100, $120, $500, whatever the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you're not alone. Sure, you might be alone in your car or at home or in the office, but you're sharing the experience with us and with all of the other listeners.
And we have a lot in common. We share values that bind us together, and your support is a big part of what makes this program possible for you and for the community you share it with. So please give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're looking for the best way to fit a contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio into your budget, you should consider becoming a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you'll make automatic monthly contributions from your credit card or from your bank account.
A lot of people contribute $10 a month on this plan, but the amount is totally up to you. As a sustainer, you'll be a member of WPR until you choose not to be. No annual renewals to worry about, and best of all, you'll help build a stable source of revenue for us here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Please contribute right now. Become a sustainer at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you know one way, if you're a sustainer, Larry, $10 a month, you can get that T-shirt. There you go. Yeah,
that's
$10
exactly
a month, $120 pledge. So giving couldn't be easier. We just ask for your name, some contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay for it.
You can save time and money, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to use a credit card today to put in my $120 donation. You know, it's probably better if I started the automatic sustaining donation from my bank account. You should do that or could do that. You choose how to give. You might want to do it by credit card. Maybe you want to be a sustainer. But whatever you do, do it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Think of your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio as an investment in your future listening. Give us 2 minutes of your time right now and your donation in any amount. And in return, you'll continue to get lots of great programs.
Absolutely. Donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And in just a few minutes, you'll have made a very wise investment that pays dividends every single day.
And help us reach this goal of 70 pledges before 12:30. We are still looking for 56 pledges. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And remember, as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount this hour, and this is only today, everybody who contributes today is entered into a drawing for an iPad. So your contribution not only helps out Wisconsin Public Radio, but you might win an iPad.
And, you know, you could throw $5 or $10 if you've already contributed.
Yeah,
you might
want to
just pay. I'll put another $5 or $10 or $100 back in, and my name's in the hat.
There you go.
Except my name won't be in the hat.
Yeah, mine either. Yeah, but that's okay. That's okay. Help us reach this goal. Help pay for this program that I'm sure you listen to this program probably every single day, and you really get a lot out of it. Now, maybe you can give a little bit back to it by making your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Talking with Ken Adams and John Freiberger today about your home and getting kind of getting your home in shape for the winter season. There's actually, Ken, you've got there's a fall maintenance checklist.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to mention that.
I think it's on your Facebook page.
Yes,
now,
it is.
Yeah, we have on our website a downloadable fall maintenance checklist. You could feel free to go to the site, AdamsDesignConstruction.com, and download it and use it. It'll give you a whole bunch of things to do around your house in the fall, and also we'll schedule it. You can throw it in your file and look at it next year and
Just keep it.
Yeah, keep it.
We have a link to that. We have a link to your site on my Facebook page. We've also, John mentioned the CORE event, and we put a link up on my Facebook page to the CORE event site that we were talking about earlier as well. So just if you go to the Larry Mueller Show, Judith did it actually. She's spot on with that kind of help for sure. So the CORE event and the website to Ken's site, the link to Ken's site, is right there on the Facebook page. And Paul in Grafton has a question for you guys. Hi, Paul.
Hi, guys. Thanks for all the help both today and over the years.
Sure.
I've got a problem for you, a conundrum, and I can't believe I'm the only person who faces this. But we put a solar roof vent in this past summer. Very simple roof. We have one ridge. About 80% of the roof faces south, about 20% faces north. And when they did that, when they put in the solar fan, they took out an existing ridge vent and a bunch of other vents that were already in the roof because they said you want to draw air up from the eaves the full length of the roof. And I understand that. But the problem that we have is we don't have central air. The house is hot water, radiator heat. And so about 20 years ago, because we live right on the river here in Grafton and we're the lowest house in the neighborhood, most summer nights we can actually feel the cold air from the neighborhood flowing through our property as it heads down to the river. To take advantage of that, we put in a whole house fan about 20 years ago, and it did a great job. It moves about 300 or 400 cubic feet of air a minute, and we used to be able to cool our house 20, 25 degrees in a half an hour or so in the evening just with that whole house fan. But when they put in the solar fan and took out all those roof vents, now the whole house fan just can't vent the air anymore.
Yeah.
So the effectiveness is reduced. The problem is if I put an eave vent in to vent that attic fan, I understand that'll reduce the effectiveness of the solar fan in the roof. because I'll just be drawing air in from the eave and right out immediately 20 feet later through the that roof vent. So it seems like what I need is an eave vent that has louvers that would be sucked shut during the day while the solar vent is pulling air up to the eaves.
Can I ask you a question, Paul?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
You had this whole house fan, and it seemed to be doing the job quite nicely for you, and then you decided to put the solar fan in. What was the reason that you did that?
Well, because it's most of the ceiling, most of the roof is a cathedral ceiling, and there's just not much airflow through there. When they did it, they basically just stuffed the rafters with insulation, and so we go through roofs about every 6 to 8 years. We go through shingles, and so we did it to improve the airflow for the existing roof, and just so we don't have to re-roof every 8 or 10 years.
Well, I could see John shaking his head right now. There's a few things that I think you're going to want to do. First of all, you're going to want to rethink how you've got your attic insulated and ventilated. If you're going through roofs every 6 to 8 years, you're spending a huge amount of money unnecessarily. If you were able to insulate and correct your ventilation issues, your roof should last at least 30 years. So what's that? What's it cost you to put a roof on your house? $10,000? You do the math. So the important thing is to make sure you have a proper insulation value in the cathedral part of the ceiling, good ventilation through the rest of the house. And it sounds to me like the people that, although well-intentioned, when they removed some of this extra ventilation, these extra roof vents, they've created a new problem. A 300 CFM fan is going to, that's going to move, you're going to need a ventilation roughly, probably, I'll bet you need 10 square feet of ventilation to move 300 cubic feet, maybe more.
It's a 6, and net opening of 6 square feet.
6 square feet. Yeah. That to me is a minimum for that amount of air movement.
And we had that prior, but like I said, it was removed just because of the roof vent.
So that's problem number one. Removing that has destroyed the use of the whole house fan.
John,
why don't you?
Well, yes, lots of things.
Sorry, Paul.
Paul, what year was your house constructed?
65.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Is this a cut roof or is this a scissor truss system? Do you have any kind of attic you can stick your head up into?
Just barely. I can crawl underneath some trusses, so it's a truss system.
So it is a truss system. Okay, so there is a little bit of space up there. Typically, we have the core vent site up already, and typically, I think the ridge vent was probably what you wanted, and the continuous soffit vents, because that was going to draw air fairly evenly. The solar fans, most times when you put in something that is controlled by electricity, you're spending money on something you don't need, because if it is designed correctly, the natural buoyancy of air as that roof heats up is going to cause enough air to leave that roof vent that it's going to draw air in through the soffit vents. So my guess is that the system that you had previously was better than the system that you currently have. If there are any deficiencies in that, I don't think that the solar fan was the way to cure it. How much insulation do you have in this attic? Is it very minimal?
I blew in some cellulose probably 10 years ago, so it was up to about 14, 15 inches, but that has settled, and I was going to do some more probably this winter.
Okay, I think you're going to need to consult with an architect. Your roof should not be lasting that short a period of time. If this roof is adequately vented and adequately insulated and there's a decent vapor barrier, as Ken said, 30 years should be the minimum. And if it's really correctly done, you can get a GAF shingle with a lifetime warranty. It used to be 50. Now it's lifetime. So I think it's really worth getting some professional help here to see exactly what's going on, because it sounds like there's something happening here causing this roof failure that Ken and I do not understand. And
I would think that he doesn't have ventilation above the cathedral ceiling. He's probably got insulation stuffed right up there, and that's causing that roof to fail. I'll bet you that. I mean, I've seen that over and over again. You probably have to replace an amount of plywood that's up there too when you do replace your roof.
Because usually the plywood rot.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So we've got it. So, we have a moisture problem.
Yeah.
Now, one thing to think about is investigate these liquid applied vapor barriers, which could be painted on the ceiling. Constructed in 1965, you don't have the 6-millimeter visqueen, mm-hmm. which is not a great vapor barrier anyway.
6-millimeter, that's pretty thick.
I'm sorry. By the time you punch all the holes in it, 6 mil. So talk to a local architect. Get a little bit of advice. Again, you may wish to consider in January when it's nice and cold to have an energy audit because as we said earlier, I think to Cindy, you're going to be able to pick up moisture as well mm-hmm. with the energy audit. Mm-hmm. So you're going to need a good systematically look at this because you have a system that does not work. If you're having to make that kind of reinvestment and it fails again and again, you need to make an investment in professional help and get it fixed once and for all.
Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And that kind of advice may have saved Paul, let's see, how many, maybe $30,000-$40,000 over the next...
That's a lot of pledges.
That's a lot of pledges. And I'm wondering, what's that program worth to Paul, and what's it worth to you?
I'm sure Paul is ringing right now, right as we speak.
Larry Mueller here. My two guests today, Ken Adams and John Freiberger. Joy Cardine joins us as well during our fall membership drive, where we ask you to place a value on all of the WPR listening you do throughout the year and then make a financial contribution in return. So make your gift any amount at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
And Larry, we are now looking for 48 more pledges by 12:30. So your pledge right now helps keep us on track, helps keep this program going. So make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The Ideas Network connects you with experts like we have today with Ken and John. How many times can you pick up the phone and talk to the editor of a magazine, for example, or a politician or the author of a book, or get some great advice from people like Ken or John? I mean, the Ideas Network brings these experts right to you. To help make it possible, give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And remember, pledge any amount today and you'll be entered into that drawing for your very own iPad. Find out the details and then make your pledge of any amount to be entered into the drawing at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you don't really have to pledge to participate in that drawing. You can send a postcard with your name, address, and phone number. Send all that to WPR iPad Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, 53706. So you can enter by sending a postcard or, the easy way, make a pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
When we ask for your support, we are speaking to you. Yes, we mm-hmm. are speaking to you.
Don't look over your shoulder. Don't look at your neighbor or friend or your coworker. You're listening right now. You value this program. You rely on it being here for you.
You count on this program, you count on Wisconsin Public Radio, and now we're counting on you too. Listener support is what makes this program possible. You're a listener. Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I have a husband and three sons, and we're all very avid listeners. We feel that Wisconsin Public Radio provides objective and informative information about what's going on in the community. It certainly is a station where you can call in, and you know that for sure that if you have an opposing viewpoint, that it's going to be broadcast because this is public radio. I'm Joan Rudnitsky, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for objective information and entertainment.
Time to make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry with Joy here asking for your gift, Wisconsin Public Radio, listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. And whether your pledge is $50 or maybe it's $120 or anything above or below or maybe it's $1,200, whatever the amount, that's the amount that's right for you at 1-888-202-2552 or go to WPR.org.
Because Wisconsin Public Radio comes on every time you start up your car, that's a sign it's time to donate.
Or because you hit your WPR preset every time a commercial airs on another station, that's another sign to donate. This means that WPR is your main radio station, and you're glad that your listener supported.
And your donation makes the programs you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio possible and uninterrupted by commercials. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We ask that you make a contribution. We also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. Some give $60 a year. Some people give $1,000 or more.
Whatever the amount, we'll use it to support our programs, keeping your source for information and great advice and entertainment going strong. So give now whatever amount is comfortable to you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, I have given on with my credit card $120 because I want one of those T-shirts, and I'm going to get one of those T-shirts. And let me tell you the process. It's very short. It only takes a minute or two. You can do it while you're on the air, as a matter of fact, with a radio show. You get some basic questions, your name, address, how much you'd like to donate, and what you'd like to pay.
That's all there is to it. Make that first donation or renew your donation to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I guarantee you really do feel great once you make that contribution.
And Joy and I feel great a lot because we give pretty often. And Judith, Judith says, hey, don't forget about me. She's given twice already, too.
I know. I gave the $120 for my T-shirt, the $120 for my husband's T-shirt. And I'm going to do a $120 in memory of the late, great Jim Packard, who used to produce this program, my memorial to Jim. And I wonder, maybe Deb would like that T-shirt.
Yeah, maybe Deb would like that T-shirt. Well, I think that's a very good idea. What about you? Time to donate now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Thanks for contributing. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here talking about your home today, what to get done with the home before winter sets in, and answering your questions. Our two guests, John Freiberger of Freiberger & Associates in Madison, Ken Adams of Adams Design Construction in Madison. John's actually in Fitchburg. Glad to have both of them with us, and certainly happy to have you listening in. Give us a call with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Mary in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I have a question about installing a bath fan.
Okay.
This is an older house from the 50s, and it has never had a bath fan in the second floor bathroom. Mm-hmm. The bathroom is in the center front of the building. And when I had a contractor look at it, he thought the best way is to go straight up through the roof, through the attic, and vent out the roof.
Mm-hmm.
So what advice do you have about how to do that properly? I mean, I remember something about that the vent pipe shouldn't go straight up, that you have to have something, some kind of something.
Yeah, there's a couple things, Mary. First of all, is it an eyesore to have the vent in the roof in the front of the house?
Well,
is that just something you're going to have to live with?
I think there's other, it wouldn't be terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, the other option is to go out the side, but it's at least 17 feet either way.
That's a long run.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you can find a vent cover that sits on the roof that sort of blends with the shingles, you should be okay.
Uh-huh.
But you're right. When you put a vent, you have the vent box in the bathroom, then you have the hose that runs up through the attic and out the roof. A couple things you want to do is, first of all, if that area is unheated, if it's a unheated attic space, you want to make sure that the vent, the 4-inch round vent, is insulated.
Mm-hmm.
And so you make sure you can use a flexible plastic vent with insulation wrapped around it, and that'll work just fine. The second thing, And you were right on the money. You know your stuff, Mary. Mm-hmm. You don't want it running straight up, because moisture from the bathroom and condensation, mostly moisture from the bathroom that you're trying to remove, gets on the walls of the vent. And then when you shut it off, they drip down and drip back into the bathroom again. So
I remember you hearing that, but actually the contractor said, I remember hearing that on your program, and I think I mentioned that, and he said, no, it's not a problem.
Well,
so what do I do?
Well,
I mean, I'm willing to do what you're suggesting, but what exactly are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that what you do is you have a short run that's horizontal before you go straight up.
You
don't want it to just turn and go straight up. Because what happens is then the little bit of moisture that's in there runs down, sits in the horizontal section, and then will evaporate slowly.
Oh, okay. So how short? I mean, how long of a short run?
16 inches, you know. If you think of it in a similar to a bath drain or a sink drain where you see that little loop that comes down below it, that's called
a trap.
And then comes up. It's the same kind of concept in a way, except that it, you know, functions differently.
So then this vent material that goes through the roof, you would simply use, do you have to do different connections to achieve what you're suggesting?
It's a flexible tube, and it comes in rolls or in a box of like 25 feet or 50 feet. You cut off what you need, and you attach one end right to the fan. And then you measure off how much you need. You run it up to the vent that goes through the roof, the vent cover, and it attaches to that. And you usually have a hose clamp that ties that down, possibly maybe with the extra screw and then some tape to seal it up. And then it's pretty much it.
So you simply have to... That one long flexible plastic, you simply run it sideways before you run it up.
Yeah, just run it sideways.
It isn't like you have to cut it and make a special.
No, no, no. There's nothing special. It's very, very low tech. Very easy.
And the roofing aspect of this.
That's another critical thing. Yes. You want to make sure that whoever puts the vent in knows how to use the flashing properly. Because I've seen people just slap them on the roof and put a couple screws in them and a little black tar and that's it. Guaranteed leak. And, you know, you really want to have somebody that knows how to properly flash the roof.
Okay. And then I suppose this needs to be done before it gets too cold, right? Because nobody's going to be...
Yeah, if it's above like 38 degrees, 40 degrees, it's not a problem. When it gets colder, the shingles get brittle and then they can break.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck, Mary. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Carl in Elkhorn. Hi, Carl.
How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
My question is, I've got a wood-burning stove in the main level of my house. It's a one-story house with a walk-out basement, and the wood stove works well.
Mm-hmm.
It really heats the house. But I'm interested in possibly moving it to the lower level, because the lower level, once that wood burner goes on, I get no heat to the lower level. And it gets pretty cold down there.
Mm-hmm.
If I move the wood burner down to the lower level, will it draw as well with that right angle bend going out the wall as opposed to just going straight out the roof?
That is really dependent on the unit itself. You'll have to check with the manufacturer on that. Most of the time, wood-burning stoves... don't function really well with extra elbows in the stacks. So I don't know if either John or I can really give you a better answer without actually looking at the unit, checking with the manufacturer's specifications.
There you go. All right, thanks a lot for calling. You can join in too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. Raina in Oshkosh says we need to replace our roof because of hail damage. What are the layers that need to be put on? It will help us decide which estimate to go with and what is required by code.
Well, generally, code requires that you not overload your roof. We actually saw a house in Tacoma here in Madison that had 7 layers of roofing on it.
Oh man.
We were afraid if a small bird landed, the whole thing would just fall into the attic. So if you have two layers, you do want to make sure you take everything off. And considering the quality of modern shingles and the long lives you can get, I really recommend going right down to the wood sheathing. And then you inspect the wood sheathing. What I suggest to all homeowners is that they pick out the shingle they're going to use. Let's say it's a GAF or a CertainTeed. We'll use GAF since I believe they have the longest warranty. But simply go to their website and download all of the installation instructions. And print a copy for you and print a copy for the contractor. And make sure that they do it correctly. And you will find all of that information in the instructions. And GAF will have the simple instructions, but it'll also have specifications for architects. And CertainTeed and other manufacturers are the same thing. Manufacturers are getting very good about providing all the information that the contractor or the homeowner needs today, and it's really worth the 10 or 15 minutes to get in and read all of that. You're going to look at your three bids, and you're going to have about 12 questions for them. And you can refer to the installation instructions and say, are you doing this? And are you doing what's on page 3? And they're going to have a lot of respect for you and do an extra good job because they know you're watching.
There are a couple things that may not be in the installation manual, and that's underlayment of ice and water shield or some of those membranes. Have you seen those in recent?
Well, and that is covered by code now in the uniform dwelling code.
It's covered by code to 3 feet to the, I think, 3 feet above the eave and above the wall, I believe it is.
You have to be 2 feet above the interior wall.
2 feet above the interior wall.
Mm-hmm. Again, if you take a look at the websites, they're going to talk about not only doing it along the eaves, as Ken mentioned, to stop the ice. Stop the ice damming, but also up the valleys.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually go to the state of Wisconsin and download the Uniform Dwelling Code. I think that's in Chapter 21. And you can print out the part on the roofing, add that to your instructions, and that should give you about everything. There also is, am I going to remember the name of this? It's the American Asphalt Shingle Manufacturers Association, and they actually make about a 70. They have a 70-page book you can download online that gives you the general specifications that all of the CertainTeeds, the GAFs, the Allieds have agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, a little bit of searching, you will. Now, unfortunately, you'll probably end up knowing more than the average roofing contractor, because I think both Ken and I get really tired of all the calls that we get on bad roofs and how do we
there's
fix
some
these
great,
leaks.
There's some absolutely great roofing contractors out there. It's kind of an easy job to get into, and have been some over the years some people that have maybe shouldn't have been up on a roof that are up there.
So check your references. Check the Better Business Bureau. Try to hire somebody from your area, not from Oklahoma. And just approach it cautiously, because the roof you put on may be there for the rest of your life, and it's worth making that little bit of investment in time.
Dick in Bark River, Minnesota has a question for you. Hi, Dick.
Hello again there. It's Michigan, but... That's no problem. I could go into other things, but we have a combination, liquefied petroleum, not city gas, furnace, and wood stove in the basement with an automatic damper that will switch from automatically one to the other. But the one thing I would like to say is regarding chimney caps, covered, like an industrial one, which you can find at a scrapyard often, rain, snow, but with a bird-proof or bat-proof mesh, so birds or bats don't fall down your chimney.
Yeah,
or raccoons in some cases.
Yeah, we've had that, 20 years ago, and they were, it was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One thing to watch out for also when you do have a covered chimney cap is the icicle buildup. That's about it.
Oh, thank you. That's very good, information.
Yeah.
Hi.
I appreciate the call very much. Jeff in Onalaska, hi.
Yes. my question, I had an energy audit done. And amongst the suggestions they had, was as far as cellulose versus fiberglass.
Yep.
Amongst it said, like, of the areas like on the that needed to be tightened up or so, says consider moving fiberglass insulation from the attic, from the vault walls, and part of the ceiling. Spray the area with two-part spray foam or use rigid foam and caulk seems to create an airtight seal from the various areas. And I was just kind of wondering, you know, how best to follow up with that, or if that sounds like a doable thing, or...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds reasonable on the surface. You have to trust your energy auditor. These guys are pretty well trained for this. Not knowing how much attic space you have there, what the amount of the fiberglass that you have, how you need to get rid of it, what the foam is going to solve that the fiberglass isn't. I mean, we don't have that information, but I mean, this does sound like a straightforward process.
Yeah, I would think so. Mm-hmm. Jeff, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Ken Adams of Adams Design Construction in Madison. John Freiberger of Freiberger and Associates in Fitchburg, our guest today here on the Ideas Network. Love to have them along. Joy Cardine joins us as well. And this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. We are here today to raise the money we need to pay for the programs you enjoy. Programs like this one, that's how WPR works. The people who use it help pay for it. So go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now to support the programs that you count on.
Larry, we have 34 pledges to make our goal by 12:30. So that's a little bit of a mountain to climb, but I think it's doable. So you can help us reach that goal by making your pledge. Thank you if you've given already, but if you haven't, help us stay on track by making your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think of all of the great information that people like Ken Adams and John Freiberger give and how much money people are saving from these topics, not only the people who ask the specific questions, but those who have similar questions that aren't even on the air, but they're helping, getting help.
I know, that's exactly. I learn something, Larry, from your program every single day, be it on you know, home repair or computers or pets. I mean, just wonderful guests that have expertise in a wide variety of areas. And you get this great information that saves you money. Now, help us pay for this program with your pledge of any amount. Every little bit helps.
Absolutely.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And everybody who pledges today is going to be entered in a drawing for an iPad. You could be the lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, I want to thank Carmen from Madison, who says, I can't live without listening to Wisconsin Public Radio every day. It's like fuel for the mind and the heart.
Oh,
and I thought
great.
That's wonderful. It is fuel for the mind and the heart. And especially when we're talking about winterizing our homes, yeah, you get that information that's fuel for your home, too. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Think about why you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio and specifically to this show. Then give yourself some time to think about it. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And of course, whatever your reason is for listening, that's also your reason for giving. You decide your reason, you decide your amount, and then you have one more choice, making your pledge by going online at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
The callers were so knowledgeable. They contributed as much as the guests did.
Nothing but good compliments for your program, and I listen to what your other callers have to say because I learn from them. Kudos on that and your producers.
You can pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. I'm Larry Mueller. I pledged this hour. I pledged $120 so I get one of those T-shirts. And Judith pledged this hour, and she's pledged to get one of those T-shirts. Joy's pledged. You're going to pledge this hour, too.
I am going to pledge this hour. I have not yet, so I will add mine to that tally. I've already pledged during my show in the morning, but I am pledging during this show as well because I listen to all sorts of shows on Wisconsin Public Radio, including the Larry Mueller Show. So whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I wish that I could be entered into that iPad drawing, but unfortunately, Wisconsin Public Radio employees are not eligible, but you are. You make your pledge of any amount, and we'll toss your name into a hat, and at the end of the day or so, we will pick a winner.
There's no reason why you can't pledge more than once. Actually, Joy pledges several times a year. I pledge several times a year. Judith does as well for a variety of reasons. And we think it's a valuable service. I hope you think it's a valuable service worth supporting. You can make your contribution of $50 or $100 or whatever amount you choose to support the programs you enjoy. This is your chance to make the programs possible at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552.
Hundreds of thousands of people listen to Wisconsin Public Radio every week. You listen. You're listening right now. So we're asking you to contribute to this group effort of raising money in the support of the programs.
There are two or more people listening in your household. That's an even bigger bargain. So make a donation for your entire family. Remember, it's not about how much you can do alone. It's about how much we can do together. Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
When you support Wisconsin Public Radio, you're supporting the Wisconsin idea to bring the resources of the university to the entire state. All of Wisconsin Public Radio follows this mission, but I think Larry's show in particular does this. Not every state has such an idea. Not every state has the high-quality programs that you enjoy daily on Wisconsin Public Radio.
I think WPR is one of the great things about Wisconsin. It's something to take pride in. Join forces with many other Wisconsinites right now and make a contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We're kind of stuck on 34 here.
Yeah, we need 34 more pledges. I have a feeling they're coming in, but we haven't seen the update yet. So please do help us reach this goal of getting 34 more pledges by 12:30. You connect with Wisconsin Public Radio for information, for engaging content, for the entertainment, and your gift supports that connection for you and others across the state. Make a gift of any amount to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Pledge any amount today and we will enter your name in a drawing for an iPad. The details, you can find out the details and also while you're making your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with about 2 minutes of your time. And we've got about 2 minutes for you to do that during this show. Give us your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay. Whether you call or pledge online, we will keep your personal information safe. We won't share it with any other organization.
Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. Please give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I bet you, like me, have a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now make it a habit to donate. Pledge your support today and renew that support every year.
I have some bad habits, but this is a good habit. Giving to Wisconsin Public Radio, it's a habit I'm proud of. I think you can be proud of it, too. Get it started today with your pledge any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Still looking for 70 pledges by 12:30 and help us get as close as we can to that goal. Consider all of the great information that you hear on the Larry Mueller Show every day. And think about maybe a $10 a month pledge. How does that sound? $10 a month is the $120 pledge. And you will get, not only will you be entered into the iPad drawing with your pledge, you will get the snazzy t-shirt that is a teal blue color t-shirt. And you can take a look at that at WPR.org. It's got the Wisconsin Public Radio wording and a pair of headphones
nice.
Like Larry's wearing right now, sort of like what Larry's wearing right now. And you can have this t-shirt for a $10 a month pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552.
I'm going to have my picture taken with my new T-shirt, and we'll put that up on our Facebook page. Not that I'm a model that's worth getting a picture taken of, but anyway, I've given, what about you? A great time now for you to become a sustaining member of by signing up for an ongoing monthly installment, or just do it by credit card like I've done today and like Judith has done today, probably Joy as well. The main thing is that you give now. Here's where to go, WPR.org. That's WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552. Thanks for contributing, and if you haven't contributed, please do it right now.